Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Good evening. Good evening, everybody. We are very happy to be here. As always, welcome to the business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. And I think it's the right time to thank Dwight and Helmut with their home run program. And the mic is in my hand, David Shombe. And as it has always been the case, I'm going to take you through the program of the day or the program of the evening. This is Business and Economic Segment. It's a platform where we talk about economics. It's a platform where we talk about business matters. It's a platform where we discuss how domestic economy is doing, regional economy, and also international affairs. It's also a policy analysis platform where we analyze government policies. We can also look at the private sector and everything in a broader context which affect, human beings, which affect Namibian development at the broader scale. So the conversation that we bring about at this platform, we are always trying to make sure that, we awaken those thinking. We, awaken those, thought-provoking, thoughts. And we are trying to make sure that all the Namibians, so whether you are an engineer, whether you are a lawyer, an economist, an ordinary Namibian, a carpenter, and any Namibian who at the front line of doing something, we must make sure that those national conversation, we must contribute those national conversation. We must make sure that we have our say, because it's the only way that we are going to build this country, and it's the only way that we are not going to blame the generation which came before us, but there's always something that we can do, particularly at this point in time. So this is also a platform where we open conversation, we open up about contribution from the public. We open up about contribution from the public, because after the conversation that we bring about on the table, we always open the line so that you can bring your view. You can air your opinion. You can also come up with a better, smart ways on how to do things, because we believe that, for us to move forward, for us to build institutions of governance, for us to build, this country and also the region and the continent at large, we need to make sure that we have different ways of thinking. We have different, ways of doing things. However, there is always a better way on how to advance the conversation, and also a smart way on how to do things. And that is how development, came about. And before we go into the conversation for today, we are always advising, and we are always, indicating to our dear listeners that connect with us for economic, business, and issues of branded butter. Connect with us, follow us, Eagle FM Namibia. You can follow us on Facebook. Follow us on X, follow us on LinkedIn, and also on Instagram. And when you do that, you have access to a rich content of economics, diplomacy, statistics, and business-related matters, so that you'll be able to be updated. You'll be able also to follow up. To be able also to do your research, so that at the end of the day you contribute positively to the advancement of your business, your personal life, and indeed the country at large. And we also have an e-paper, that is the Villager newspaper. It's coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if you want to pursue your research in economics, or if you can be a student of economics, law, business, or a developmental enthusiast, you can be able to access, or even an ordinary Namibian who want to read about economics, want to upgrade yourself in terms of development, download the Villager newspaper. It's coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And, your life will be more easier. And it's also going to be more easier for you to follow up on various topics. And, And the other thing is also the Eagle FM app. There are always good questions. There are always people who are asking to say, no, we are not able to connect with you. Where are you? What I can indicate to you is that, and we are always saying this very slowly, so that you know, you will not be left behind. You will not be left behind. Download Eagle FM app. Go to your Play Store. Download Eagle FM app. When you download Eagle FM app, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and also the previous programs that you can also access via podcast. And yeah, that is, it's also very interesting because when you download Eagle FM app, wherever you find yourself, you can be outside the country, its operational mechanism is the same as, you know, you are using WhatsApp, and, you can have access to variable information. You can also, you know, go back to podcast if you did not hear that program very well, or you want to grab on something that you miss. You can be able to do that. So we are into a commercial break, then we can come back. Stay tuned.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Yes, welcome back to Business and Economic segment. Yeah, on top of that, apart from downloading Eagle FM app, which is the best app that you can use to access, you know, Eagle FM programs, current and previous one, you can also be able to download Imba app. Imba app is a simplified and smart way of accessing your hymn book in a form of a digital format. And in this case, if you find yourself in a situation where you have to use a hymn book, you can be at church, you can be at a graduation party, you can be at a wedding, you can be at, even at a funeral, you can be anywhere that you need to sing from a hymn book. But in that situation, you do not have a hard copy. Don't panic, and, don't keep on calling people or asking people. We have a better way of, making your life more easier. That is by just download Imba app. Imba app, go to Play Store, download Imba app. And when you download that Imba app, you'll be able to access your hymn songs. You can be able to sing along. You can, what is very interesting is that, it's in different local Namibian languages. We have a Hangano book, a Hangano. We have Maimburiro. We have also hymn book in Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So you make your life very easier by using digital app. And also save you time, save you cost. And we're always saying this, you can be a pastor who do not have a hard copy hymn book at that time. But you don't need to panic. Take your phone, take your laptop, go to Play Store, download Imba app. Then you'll be able to lead your congregation. So dear listeners, stay tuned. And we're going to a commercial break. Then we can come straight with the conversation for today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ujendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back to Business and Economic segment. Welcome back to Business and Economic segment with me, David Shombe. And yeah, today we are going to look at economic report. We are going to look at an economic report by World Bank. We are going to look at where we are standing as a country, and also in comparison to other countries. And what is very interesting is also that we are also going to look at what are some of the players in national and also continental development, and either we need to change strategies, we need new ways of doing things, or we are progressive, or we are progressing at an understandable pace. Now, the question that you want to ask yourself is that, Africa in general has gone through a lot of transformation, a lot of, stages, pre-colonial, during colonial, post-colonial Africa. Then you'll be able also to understand that Africa got connected to the international world, not really to say during the time of colonialism, but post-colonial Africa, where you see international institutions such as IMF, World Bank, World Trade Organization, trying to make sure that they connect Africa to the world, and also making sure that we are part of the globe, and we contribute equally at an international platform. But what is very interesting is that up to now, Africa is the only country, it's the only continent in the world with most poorest countries. And when you look at it the other way, you also be able to understand that Africa, in terms of the content or the richness of its untapped natural resources, is at number one. Now, this World Bank report, which is looking at vulnerabilities in low-income countries, has indicated that in 2024, about 40% of people who are living in low-income countries were in extreme poverty. That is 2024. 40% of those people who are living in low-income countries were in extreme poverty. That is 2024, which means that they are still there, because that end last year, that research ended last year. Now, what you need to understand is also that when you look at the definition of low income countries, then you also look at extreme poverty. You'll be able to understand that when people are talking about extreme poverty, when extreme poverty is being defined, is when individuals are living less than $2 per day. Does not matter whether it's food, shelter, as long as you are living less than $2 per day. Now, what is very interesting is also this to say, in 2019, 30% of, people who were living in low-income countries were living in extreme poverty. Now, the question that you want to ask yourself is that there is no progress in terms of Africa human development, or there's no progress in not really to say just in Africa, but there's no progress in terms of human development, particularly the suffering world, and which in this case is it's a developing world. When you talk about the developing world, you talk about Africa. When you talk about the developing world, you talk about Africa, because in total definition of the world, when World Bank is defining high income countries, there is no high income country in Africa, according to that definition. But what is also very interesting, is that when you come to the level of upper middle income, that is where you find countries like Namibia, Botswana, South Africa, and you look a little bit at Egypt, and few African countries that you can find at the upper middle income. Now, what is very interesting is also this. That is number one statistics. Now, they are looking at in terms of economy, in terms of number, in terms of values. What is very interesting is that when you look at income inequality, I'm not lying to you. In the entire world, when you look at income inequality, economic inequality in the whole world, Namibia, the country that we are living now, we are still at number two. In 2025, number one is South Africa, number two is Namibia. What does this mean? It means that we have a wealthy country, and only few people. We have this wealth. Few people, and the majority of the people that you have, they either have just peanut or nothing. That is what is on the ground. Now, today we are not going to interrogate that matter to say somebody did something wrong. The question that you need to ask yourself is that how did we get here? How did we get here? Do we have somebody who is going to assist us to come out of these problems? Yeah, you can be a politician, you can be a business person, you can be a policy maker, you can be just a professional. Then you ask yourself these questions to say, in my everyday life, in my everyday interaction, in the debates which I have with my colleagues and the debates which I have with people that I find in the street, am I contributing to the betterment of my country? And when I'm contributing to the betterment of my country, how am I doing this? Now, you may want to say, no, we have been around for 35 years post-colonial Namibia. We have been around for 35 years. And for 35 years, we had external partners. You look at institutions such as European Union Commission. You look at external donors. You look at funders from the United States, from Europe, Asia, and everywhere. These are the people that you have been seeing. These are the organizations that you have been seeing, and you are seeing them around in, you are seeing them around in your country. Then the question that you're asking yourself is that, for the past 35 years, what were these organizations doing? Yes, there are some tangible things that they have done, but are their interests purely to develop Africa? Are their interests purely to, Namibia, to say? That's a question that you need to ask yourself. And, what is, in your own sound mind, when Namibia is, economically independent, everybody is working, there is nobody who is running around to feed the children at orphanage, do you know who is going to lose their job, who are going to lose their jobs? Ask yourself this. Who are going to lose their jobs if Namibia is standing on its own? It's external institutions. Well, they want to say, no, we are here, they are taking pictures, we are here in Africa, and taking pictures and giving food. Why are you giving me food instead of giving me technical know-how on how to produce my own food? And there's a lot of things that, it's a complexity of unpacking what development is. But what I want to indicate to you is also this, to say, when you look at this, when you look at these statistics, ask yourself this question to say, why are the African leaders still trying to find for solutions from the outside? If you have all the resources, why are they still trying to find solutions from the outside? Yes, outside is needed, but who is commanding? Who is holding the cards? I went into the conversation with Dr. Gerson Sindano, and I'll give you one short conversation that we had with him, just for you to see where we are standing. Because if you look at a country like Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, with a population around 110 million there, and the world is saying DRC is a country is the richest country in the world in terms of mineral deposit in the country. It's the richest. There's no other country richer than DRC. Then in terms of ranking, it's in lower income country. People are in extreme poverty. Then you ask yourself, who is benefiting from these people suffering? Where are the minerals of DRC going to? Are the people who are involved in this business have good intention for Africa? And if Africa unite, who is going to suffer? You know, I met a lot of young people, especially the ladies. They have good admiration of Ibrahim Traore of Burkina Faso. It's a very good guy, very good military guy who is very clear about what he wants. But do you think he is only going to stand on his own if you are not assisting him? This is some of the questions that, and what can you learn from that military guy? Yes, at the West he's called a dictator, but if a person like that can do great things for his nation, then that is a good dictatorship. So those are some of the questions that we need to ask ourselves, and we also need to ask ourselves that how did we get here? How did we get here, and how are we going to take ourselves out of this, not really to say mess, but an unfortunate situation? So we are going to a commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation. And I'm going to open the line so you can also try to reach us, give your contribution, ask your question, and also, give your constructive criticism, because we don't want only, people who agree with us. We also want to learn from you. We also want you to contribute to the conversation.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months.
Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. However, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. We are talking about analyzing World Bank report on physical vulnerabilities in low-income countries. And we are trying also to look at where we are standing as a country, as Namibia, where are we standing, and how is our economy doing, how is our human development doing. Are we prioritizing the unprioritized, or we are at the right track? Now, there's a question which I asked Dr. Gelson Zindano. It's a very controversial question regarding who is going to suffer if African countries unite, and also African countries are at the standard where Europe and the whole Western world is. And this is what he had to say.
To EU, because we want to be independent, or we want to trade among ourselves, because it's the richest continent in the whole world. People agreed on that. Economists agreed on that. But do you think EU will not advise us well, or its influence will not get us to the direction that we want?
Now, the idea that somehow, EU is going to play for the Christmas and make sure that, policies... look, an independent, rich, and pricing all the minerals on based on the world market related prices will be bad news for the West. So the intention is good in terms of providing you with social, safety nets. For example, if there's drought and then they give you donation, that's good.
Yeah.
But do you really think the West have the best interest of the African continent? It's true. You are right when you say, Africa is rich. When we say Africa is rich, just to give you context, Democratic Republic of Congo alone, the minerals under Democratic Republic of Congo is equivalent to the size of the United States economy. You have over probably around 25 to 30 trillion US dollar worth of mineral resources in Democratic Republic of Congo alone. Now, if that is not enough, Congo River in Kinshasa, between Kinshasa and Congo Brazzaville, can produce electricity to illuminate the whole SADC.
Yeah.
That's the capability Congo has. Can you imagine with all the minerals, with all this energy and all these things? So we have it, but does the West have the best interest for us? That's a topic for discussion, something that we need to talk about. Yeah. Obviously, the European Union will influence the policy. For as long as the funding continues, the European Union will influence the policies in Africa. And
yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. That was part of our conversation with Dr. Zindano. And you get the content, especially when you talk about the wealth, the richness that we have. And you are asking yourself these questions to say, what is the best model of development that we must have as Africa? And also Namibia in general, what is the best model of development that we must have? And how are we going to move from where we are? Now, It's very interesting to look at the context, and also to look at the picture, particularly the developing world. Look at where other countries are. Look at where other countries are. Go to our Facebook page, like our page, and see what we updated today. Look at the map of the whole world. Look at where Namibia is. Look at where other countries are. Look at where countries like Brazil are. And what is very interesting is that Namibia also have, its GDP. You can compare it, or GDP growth, you can compare it with countries in Asia, in South America, and many other countries in the world. But the question that you're asking yourself, who is benefiting from this growth? Who is benefiting from this growth? And how can we integrate everybody to become the participant in the Namibian economy? Because when you look at what happened, Namibia Statistic Agency just today, they gave a quarterly report which indicated that, no, the GDP of Namibia have grown with 2.7% in 2025. Then you're asking yourself, when our size of economy is growing, who is benefiting from this growth? Who is benefiting from this growth? And how can we assist ourselves, particularly the policy makers, particularly the business person, politicians? Who do you look for? Who do you get advice from when it's coming to development? What happened to African countries, post-colonial African countries? Did we make intelligent decisions? Did we make intelligent decisions? How come we get where we are? But you know, what is also very interesting is that, you know, when we started the process, particularly the post-colonial process, when African countries start getting independent, when they start getting their independence, what is very interesting is that when that happened, we always have partners from external world. Some are the one who, you know, they have been not on our side, but yes, it's the world is a global village. You have to work with everybody. But is what they taught us really the solution? Is what they taught us really the solution? Because I want you to look at a very small country which shocked the world in terms of development, like Singapore, for example. Singapore is a case study in development studies. It's a case study in international relations. It's a case study in business, how they manage to develop their countries without minerals, as we are. We are richer than Singapore in terms of mineral deposit. But how did they manage to get their countries on track? One of the examples that I can give you is that they got their leadership right. Then, apart from getting their leadership right, they got better policy, particularly policies which touch human development. One of them, go and make research about the Land Acquisition Act. When Singapore came up with Land Acquisition Act, you know, Singapore was, the cities of Singapore's were like our cities, surrounded by slums, and people were living in poverty. But when they come up with Land Acquisition Act, they made sure that they move people to better housing, but they also assist them in terms of their savings. They assist them in terms of their saving, and also they open up their market to that extent that all the investors must make sure that they contribute to the development of Singapore. But now, when you look at where Singapore is standing in terms of development, it's unbeatable. It beat the best. You can't touch it. And everybody wants to go to Singapore to see. And now, when you look at this statistic, it's paying us because we are not moving forward. These statistics are paining you because when you look at what the World Bank is saying, to say the global poverty increase, particularly at the developing world, then you look at where we are. Compare yourself with other countries. Then in Namibia, there's a lot of things we can boast about. We can boast about the ranking, but the ranking is not beneficial to us. We are upper middle income country. Yes, but in terms of economic inequality, we are number two, following South Africa, our friend. How can we get these things right? And it's also a good thing when you look at this. I think you'll also be able to listen to what motivates national leaders? Do they want to leave their legacy or they want to build a foundation? Do you want to build a legacy or a foundation? Because those are some of the questions that our leaders need to ask themselves. Do you want temporary gain that you want to show people that you did this, or you want to build a long-term, impact? Because, you know, in Africa, people cannot build houses that they are not going to, they're not going to sleep in. Or they cannot grow trees that they know they are not going to what? They are not going to go for shelter. So these are some of the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And as a student of economics or a student of politics or a student of law, try to put these statistics in mind and also look at, we also need to look at things that we are also learning. Let's go to a commercial break. Then we can continue the conversation.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwanda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM.
Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are continuing with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. Today we are trying to analyze a report by World Bank, which is indicating that the global poverty is increasing, particularly in the developing world. And we also, I think it's also the right time that we need to question those who are saying, are assisting us with our development. Because, you know, you need to be very clear, and you also need to be very honest with yourself, and we also need to be very honest with ourselves and also assisting ourselves. Because when you look at the situation where, yes, we were colonized, yes, we fought for independence, then after that, we have to find better ways on how to develop our country. Then we have to go back again to look for consultants who are also going to assist us in drafting our policies, consultants who are assisting us in drafting our developmental plan. How can you come from outside and assist me in drafting what I want? Yes, you can teach me. I can learn from you. But do you really think Namibian, it's an open question. Namibian government, do they trust local consultants? Maybe somebody with the best intention, just drafting of a policy, drafting of a plan, or handling a project. Just a local consultant, same qualifications. They could be well educated. Even they went to the same school that people that we are saying are experts we are calling. But for a very long time, for past 35 years, we had experts who are at the forefront of our developmental plan. But the poverty level in Namibia is not going down. The unemployment level in Namibia is not going down, and the situation is not becoming better. Now, these are some of the things that we really need to look at, because you can only be able to understand it if you are in a situation where you tick all the boxes, but the system is not accepting you, even in terms of business. In terms of business development, the system is not accepting you because policies set by people who are not going to benefit from that policy. Those are very dangerous policies. Because if you look at what happened yesterday, due to the pressure from international watchdog, BIPA has indicated that they are going to deregister around 141,000 businesses. Why? Because these businesses have failed to submit, or they failed to submit their beneficial ownership. Now, yes, it's a requirement which is needed, but there are also some things that you need to understand also to say what is hindering these businesses also to submit their beneficial ownership. What is hindering them? What is the state of entrepreneurs in Namibia? Why is business in Namibia is not doing well? Because we are not using the right books. We are not using the right books. We are using a different content from outside. Because if I went to Harvard and I did my MBA in Harvard, yes, there are those transferable skills that I can have. But if I just base my research content where I studied, it will not work here in Namibia. It will not work here in Namibia. So I think it's the right time to do a critical self-assessment and also look at what is working for us and what is not working for us. Because what I have observed through a few years which I've been alive, what I've observed is that we like to trust people that we do not know. We like trusting people that we do not really know. And we don't really ask if these people have best intentions for our country. No, just think about it. Just think about it. Just think about it. How happy were people when Namibia got independence? People were very happy that we are going to live in a land of honey and not a land of peanut. In a land of honey, and we are going to have the best country. Yes, it started at a good note, but where are we now? Did we move? Now, in comparison to how developing countries end up at the first world stage, when you look at countries like China and Singapore, I have already indicated the best policies, particularly land acquisition, best policies in terms of investment, and one of the things that they also did well is to deal with the issue of urbanization. How do you accommodate people at better infrastructure? Because housing is a very important thing. Housing is a very important thing because if a person has shelter, then it's easier for you to navigate life if you have shelter. It's easier for you to navigate life. Because when you look at the population of Windhoek, right now as we are speaking, we are at 500,000. Go and look at the statistics. Windhoek is already at 500,000. And the growth of Windhoek every year is growing with not less than 3%. It's beyond 3% growth. 3% of 500,000 is how much? Still people come to Windhoek every year. But is the capacity of Windhoek accommodating the people that we have? What is the problem? What are some of the pushing factors? These are some of the things that maybe we were taught in geography. People, there are still those pushing factors that are pushing people to come to the city. Why are people moving to the city? Is the city accommodating these people? Or the city is overwhelmed. It's under pressure. Those are some of the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And it's also very important to be honest with ourselves, because if we are not honest with ourselves, especially with our developmental plan and operation of our institutions, if you are not honest, we will never go anywhere. Because the moment you start to be honest with yourself, it's easier for you to navigate. Because if we have this delusion of saying, no, we are going to achieve this, we are going to achieve this, but there is no clear plan, there is no clear strategy. Even if there's a strategy, there's no resources to fund that strategy. Even if you have resources, there's no individual who understands the strategies so that they can implement that strategy. it's going to be a bad news. But I think it's also the right time to start to think differently, and also start to, you know, trusting in ourselves that we are going to change things, and not continue repeating things that have been done. Now, one of the things that due to time, I think it's also the right time to look at. We ask a lot of questions. We blame where we blame, but it's a honest truth. But maybe what are some of the solutions that we need to look at? And here is what the expert has to say.
To EU, because we want to be independent.
What are some of the solutions to the problems that Africans are facing?
You can begin educationally, start academically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world is now moving to the fourth industrial revolution, and you still have part of Africa where we have not even yet begin. I mean, we have not yet even begun with second or third industrial revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Education, if once our curriculum, designed in such a manner that it responds to the needs and aspirations of the African people going forward to the future, you can then industrialize, because then you will go to fourth industrial revolution. Africa can do it through education.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest equalizer, because once you have enough education, you can then industrialize and then even run into the fourth industrial revolution, where things will be, you know, we are going into the future where things are going to be robotized.
Mm.
There will be, you know, robot doctors. There will be robot everything. You know, if I told you 20 years ago,
yeah,
if somebody held, you know, a camera and there was a soccer being played on the ground, and then a helicopter hovering in the sky with two, a pilot and a pilot assistant, a cameraman, and an engineer, and even a reporter on the pilot. If I told you 20 years ago that in the future, 20 years to come, there will be drones, these guys are going to lose their jobs, you probably were going to laugh.
Yeah.
But this is what is happening now. So what we can do individually is, one, empower yourself in terms of education, because that's the only way you can industrialize. That's the only way you can think out of the box,
mm-hmm,
and make sure that we come up with industry that are locally developed, managed, and be able to implement our own policies. You see, once you are educated as an individual, you can move the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Once we do that, or at our own level, apart from education, even through politics,
mm,
When you vote, you influence policies. You're influencing policies, things that you want done.
Mm.
Or you speak through democracy. Or yourself, you could run and do things and bring changes that you have always, you know, thought about doing.
Yeah.
And then apart from that, now in terms of leadership, I always say, if you go in the Sun community,
yeah,
you know, leadership in the Sun community is very interesting.
Mm.
Their leadership is entirely situational. If you go and find a stream of water, you become a leader, and then you lead the team, you go to the stream of water.
Mm-hmm.
While on the way to the stream of water, if someone, you know, slaughters a kudu, and then suddenly that person becomes a leader because he leads you to where meat is. Now, in our case, the leadership that's needed on the African continent is, there must be not just about forward-looking and progressive policies, but empathetic and sympathetic. You should be able to have the empathy. When you sit in the evening, you should be able to think, I'm eating, but there's someone out there who did not eat today.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leadership is needed. And also progressive policies.
Mm-hmm.
Policies that will move this, you know, this continent.
Mm-hmm.
Progressive policies such as, you are willing to put the interests of the continent first over the interests of any. But the problem we have is, if we are too fragmented, it will be very difficult to develop, you know, a united force policies that will move the continent forward. And that's the biggest problem that we have as a continent. So this is where leadership becomes necessary.
Yeah.
The ability to be visionary, to think forward, to think futuristically, and, you know, to have what the Chinese refer to as delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Where you produce wealth and then you let the future enjoy that wealth. But as it stands now on the African continent, we produce and we consume immediately, because all of us say, no, I'm not going.
Yes, that was Dr. Gerson Sindano. Just some of the input about what we need to do. He spoke about, you know, education. Education has always been number one in development, but not just general education of getting 20 qualification without contributing anything to the development of the country. It's the right education with the right curriculum, and also with that is answering to the need of the state. Because if there is no coordination between what the market need and also what is being offered at university, we are still continue to blame each other, and we are still going to fight politically and many other ways due to something that we should have avoided. If we are not having stakeholders which are able to come and sit on one table, like higher education institution and basic education, like we have seen in the past where people are coming up with a curriculum of the country, but no one is willing also to accept that. I think that could be one of the challenges that we need to address. Then we can advance our country. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Have a great evening. And yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly and Narovanda. Till next time, same time, same place.